that along the way is when they think they know everything is when they stop. They keep their mind wide open and to try different things. When you get comfortable, that means you're not doing nothing to change.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by Codecademy. Codecademy has a goal to give anyone in the world the ability to learn the skills they need to succeed in the 21st century. They set out to create new interactive ways of learning, making it engaging, flexible, and accessible for as many people as possible. Their mission is to create a world where anyone can build something meaningful with technology. Everyone has the learning tools, resources, and opportunities to do so. Code contains a world of possibilities. All that's required is curiosity and the drive to learn. At Codecademy, they are committed to empowering all people regardless of where they are in their coding journeys to continue to learn, grow, and make an impact on the world around them. Make sure you go to artoffatherhood.net to check out my interview with Michael Cruz, who is a dad who lost his job in 2019, started with Codecademy to learn how to code, and now has a job, and he's teaching his skills that he learned to his kids so they can learn to code as well. To learn how you can join the millions of people worldwide Codecademy has helped learn to code, go to Codecademy.com. That's Codecademy.com. What's going on, everyone? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast online. I'm very happy to have Antron Brown. Thanks for taking time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Art. Doing good, man. Just enjoying the sunshine. The weather's changing up.
Nice, man. I know you're a busy guy, so you taking the time to talk about your fatherhood journey means the world to me. So thank you very much for doing that. Let's go back to the beginning, man. Tell me when you found out you were going to be a dad, what was going through your mind, sir?
Oh, man. I scared, nervous. You know what I mean? Just like saying, like, now it's not just taking care of, like, yourself, even though, you know, you got married with your wife, but it's like you're all doing it together. You know what I mean? And it's just like, man, it's like I got a family. Like I got a little piece of me looking back at me, and it needs a lot of taking care of. It's the most nerve-wracking feeling, but the coolest part is that once it started happening, it just started kicking in automatic. Like you have these built-in instincts that just take over. Like, cause you're thinking about how I'm gonna hold this little baby, how I'm gonna do this, it all comes in.
No doubt, yeah. Those the natural tendencies just kind of get into you, and you start, you know, becoming a dad and. You got to trust your instincts, like you said. And the funny, like the way you were like motioning your hands, I remember it takes me back to the first time. I have two daughters. And when my first daughter was born, we're in the hospital. I'm trying to change the onesie. I tell the story a lot on the Art of Father, because what you just said right there, like the nurse kind of like hip checked me and like, you're doing it all wrong. This is like, she's not going to break. So you're getting nervous about this baby and all this other stuff. So I appreciate you sharing that. And obviously, for your profession and into racing and everything that you do, it doesn't come that easy. So you got to work hard. So hard work is definitely a value I think you and your spouse are looking to instill into your kids. But talk about some of the other values you're looking to instill into them.
Well, the thing that I'm just looking to instill to my kids is that nothing comes easy. Okay, and we all know that. Like, if you want to do something that you truly enjoy in life, and, you know, just get paid to do it, it's just like, I'm just trying to teach them that, for one, it's not just hard work. Everybody knows you have to work hard, right? Like, but this today's generation is so hard because a lot of them think that they just get things. It's like they're entitled to it because it's our fault as parents. It's not their fault. It's our fault because each leg of the way, from my grandpa to my dad to myself, each generation wants to give their children all the things they wish they had. Yep. You get what I mean? That's the trend. That's what we do. And we spoil them to death where they think this is automatic. You know what I mean? And I'm like, it's not automatic. It's like somebody is pushing that shovel doing this, or somebody's working doing this. And the lessons I always tell my kids is that I want you to never stop growing in life. And what I mean by that is what I try to push to them is that along the way is when they think they know everything is when they stop. They keep their mind wide open and to try different things. When you get comfortable, that means you're not doing nothing to change. And I want them to get uncomfortable, and I put them in uncomfortable situations. Like once they grab something really good, I was like, okay, well, we're going to do it like this time. They're like, why? I can do it like this. I'm like, no, but I want you to get uncomfortable so you get used to going in there, putting the work in and grow. And for me, the racing is why I still like, you know, I didn't want my kids to race. I just wanted them to do whatever they wanted to do. But my oldest son, which is our middle child, Anson, he wanted to race. And he was like 7 going on 8 years old. And he goes, I want a junior dragster race. It's like, you ain't junior dragster race. Like, because this kid did everything, Art. Like, he was into everything. Like, every stick and ball sport. He was a jack of all trades, a master of none. Yeah. Right? That's what our son was, right? So he gets into racing. And the coolest part of it was is that we went out there. And he did good off the bat. But then as he grew and went to a higher class and it got tougher, I said, son, now you're going to have to put the work in. We're going to have to practice that practice tree. Now you're going to have to go in here and you're going to have to think about how to drive the big and like look over, glance, and know when to let off because, you know, you're carrying numbers. So he started learning the art of racing. But what happened was I showed him, I go, the only thing you're doing on Saturday and Sunday at the races is showcasing the work that you put in Monday through Friday. There's no magical formula. You just don't show up and go, okay, this is the magic. Let me rub the ShamWow and I'm going to get this round win. You know what I mean? That's not how it goes. And then once he understood that, to hear his words, and then my daughter got into racing and my youngest son got into racing, and my daughter's the oldest. So she got into it later down the road. And when they got into it, I saw them get interviewed one day. And it's something that I never realized is that my daughter and my son Anson and the youngest one goes, well, you know, by us racing, we learn that once you put the work in and you keep putting it in, we started getting better. And then what we learned was, like when we were practicing, it made us better. So then we learned to start how to apply that into school. And it was like, I was like, what? My eyes lit up. I was like, where did that come from? Like, we started learning that if we just put that little extra work in and we study a little bit more, it became easier because we knew that we had to prepare if we wanted to go out there and get that opportunity or if we wanted to do well. We needed to prepare. Like she said, she goes, like, I show up at a race and the only time I got nervous is because I knew I wasn't prepared because I didn't practice the tree. So before I came out for that round, I went on the practice tree, practice. I got out there and I was able to do it without thinking about it. And they say, then we started applying that to our everyday life in school. And my daughter does competitive dance in her dancing. And then my son Anson started applying that to himself. You know what I mean? I told him, I said, son, you're going to be lazy. That early bird gets a worm, brother. I said, if not, I said, you ain't going to have none. I said, it depends on how home you're going to get. I said, that's okay. And he goes, Dad, why do you laugh at me every time I lose? Because I see you. I said, I laugh because I see you're mad, you're frustrated, and you're upset at yourself. And I said, ain't nothing I can do to tell you because you're learning the lessons I learned when I was 20 at the age of 10 and 11. And now you're 16. I said, and now, you know, the only person you got to blame is who? He goes, myself. And I love it. I love it.
That is probably one of the best parenting stories on this podcast, Antron, because like that, like everything there in a nutshell is what you want your kids to learn. And you always think like, wondering, am I listening? Are they listening to me? Am I doing the right thing? You hear that interview and all of a sudden you hear the responses and like, yes, they are listening. And then to take that from racing to school, that's just icing on the cake, man. Right. Cause all of a sudden they're like, the idea what they, the, your kids know something that, like you said, we didn't know maybe in our 20s or 30s, right? I'm 42. And the idea of having them know, like, if I put in the work in Monday through Friday, whatever the case may be, that test day or that race day, I don't have to worry. Yeah, there is good, you know, to be nervous about certain things is to show that, you know, you care about this and all that other things. But to break all of that nerves away because you prepared, that's huge, man. So I got to congratulate you and your wife for having that instilled in them, man. That's fantastic.
My wife, trust me, she gets the brunt of it because when I'm away, she is here 24/7. And I hear all the time. And she cracks the whip, brother. She cracks the whip on the kids because they need it. You know what I mean? They need it. And I'm sitting there and it's just like they take advantage of mom only for so long. And then the raging Cajun comes out. And then I will support because I used to get on them all the time. And then when I get on them, I'm too harsh. I'm not harsh. It's just that I'm real.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to prepare them for what the real world is. You know what I mean? Because the real world is not pretty. Is not, you know what I mean? It's not like the fairy tale story that you read in elementary school or in kindergarten. It's like there's a lot of not happy endings. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. But the thing about it is I try to tell our kids it's up to them all the time and how they control that narrative of their life. And the crazy part of it is that they go, I know, Dad, another lecture. Here we go. And you know what I mean? They start rolling their eyes and looking back. I was like, look, I said, I got these crucial moments that you don't understand. And when you get older, you're going to look back and say, my dad tried to give me the shortcut, but I did not take it. I wanted to be hard-headed and take the hard road. You know what I mean? And it's okay. It's okay to take that hard road. And my wife is on them all the time because she sees where they're going to have that shortfall. And she's trying to be there to be that, like, you know, she's being mom. She doesn't want to see that happen to her baby. And I looked at her, I said, baby, I didn't say it like a broken record. You haven't said it like a broken record. Sometimes you just got to let it be. And then when they hit hard and they're like, man, this is what they've been trying to tell me. You know what I mean? And I got the funniest story real quick. My son Anson, I've been coaching him at, like, you know, when he started racing and try to tell him everything and say, son, man, you got to watch out for this. You got to do this. And look, focus on that last bub when you're racing full tree. Don't follow it down. Don't follow boom, boom, okay, boom, because you'll actually start redlining and you leave early. Just block the other two out. And look at the bottom one and look at the bottom one and pretend it's pro tree and leave off of it, right? That's what I said. Man, in one year, out the other year, he's following it down, he's red lighting, he's all over the place, doing what he wants to do. You know, that's what he does. You know what I mean? And the hilarious part of it is that starts making me laugh is that then 2 years later, Sean Langdon, okay, who I race against, excellent bracket racer, world champ in all kinds of different worlds. Well, he's talking to Anson, and we're standing there, and Anson's having trouble. So Anson asks him a question. So Sean tells him exactly what I told him 2 years ago. And you know what my son says? Oh, man, thanks. That makes a lot of sense. And then my wife looks over at me, and she goes, didn't you tell him that like 2 years ago? I said, baby, it's okay. He knows it now. You know what I mean? Because us fathers and us mothers, we can't tell our kids, but somebody else tells them it's the gospel. But we tell them it's like French or Spanish. And like, huh? What? Man. And they still do what they do, right?
Yeah. I love that because, like, yeah, whether it's a foreign language or it's like the Peanuts characters, like the parents, like, guang, 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 we're saying that to them. On a smaller scale, like I coach my kids' sports teams, and especially for basketball, my oldest, and I'll say something to her about, like, you know, making sure you dribble with both hands because you don't want to make it easy for the defender. Okay, yeah, whatever. I'm good, Dad. I just want to go on my right. Other coach said that to her, and so the next day she's out practicing in the driveway. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, well, Coach Coach Frank said to do it this way too. I'm like, okay, cool.
What you do? You know what I mean? It's like, what you do is that's part of it, man. That's part of being a parent. The part of being a parent is that you're trying to instill these life lessons and these valuable lessons in your child. But the thing about it is, never once did I think that you got to use reverse psychology to make them get it. Like, you just can't tell them point blank. Son, you do this. Like, you can say, just like you say this, hey, man, don't touch that stove. That stove is hot. And they're like, okay. And they're like, all right, they don't touch it that day. Then one day they're coming by, and nobody around is doing what they do to touch. Ah! They got burnt. Sometimes they gotta get burnt before they learn. So that's I've learned that lesson, you know.
No doubt, sir. Two more questions before we get into racing. For you, you know, we're talking about the things we want to teach our kids, but what is something that your kids have taught you about yourself, about life in general?
Oh man, I could tell you one thing that my kids have taught me about myself is that sometimes, for me, being a professional at what I do is that I'm like, my work ethic, right, is that I'm all or nothing, okay? And for me, they have taught me how to, okay, Dad, like, let's pull back a little bit. And for me to pull them to that level is that I just can't throw them into the fire. Like, I need to, like, bring them along gradually. And, you know, and it's okay to say sometimes, like, you know, hey, good job. You know what I mean? Like, you got to give them that, because sometimes for me is that, like, I got to bring it down a notch sometimes, because I'm on that Kobe Bryant, like, Mamba killer instinct mentality. I was like, that ain't good. You know what I mean? Like, but sometimes you got to give them a little motivation so they can keep going. You can't keep, like, for my deal, I gotta, like, I've learned that, and my kids call me out. They're like, what do I do good? I'm like, you are good. Don't get me wrong, you are, but I'm just trying to get you here. You know what I mean? And sometimes us as parents is that we gotta take a step back and be like, all right, like, you know, and give them that pat on the butt, the pat on the back, and say, but think about this is that I'm trying to push them not just to be good, but to be great.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? And it's a fine line you walk as parents where you gotta let them come along at their, like, I've learned and they've taught me, like, you gotta let them come on at their will, because every kid is different. And I know that. Like, my son Anson is different, where my son Adler, I've learned that from my daughter down to my son Anson. And our youngest son Adler, I kind of let him come at his own pace. And now he's eager to even be better. And I can see him actually putting the work in more. You know what I mean? Before, I was like, Anson, I'm saying, you got to put more time in, man. You can't just do 20. You got to put 40, get 40 on that practice tree. You know what I mean? Well, Adler, all I got to do is, I've learned that from Anson. I was like, you know what? I just got to let them have fun. If they don't want to run, they don't want to do this, they don't want to do that, they ain't got to train, they ain't got to do this. Let them do it and let them come up. And then when they start getting beat and when they start losing, that'll be their own motivation if they really want it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't make people have want to. And I think that's what my kids have taught me throughout the way, is that you got to let them do it at their own will. You know what I mean? You can't enforce that will or give them that want to. But once they start getting beat up enough, that want to starts kicking in. And that's what I've learned along the way. And it has shown me that.
I love that. And I guess, I mean, a lot of things that you've been saying, I think, are a great piece of advice for new dads. But if there's one, I mean, I bet there's a lot of different things you've said, but I think, again, too, like what you're talking about, you know, seeing them, like, you want them to be great, but sometimes you got to let them find their own course and all these other things, and just about the values as well. But what is one big piece of advice you'd offer to new dads listening to this?
I think one big piece of advice is that, you know, is what I always try to share, is that a lot of us adults are living to work, not working to live. And what I mean by that is to, I'd give And my wife even tells me, goes, why are you killing yourself? Why are you killing yourself to get up to the race? Why are you doing all this work? Why are you doing this? Or why are you doing that? I'm like, I can't hit the rewind button. Like, it might be killing me now, but once they get old enough and they leave the house, I can't hit rewind and do all the stuff as they're a kid all over again. So my best advice is cherish those moments and sacrifice your time being a new dad to your kids, to your children. You know what I mean? And also, never forget to keep mama number one, okay? Because that is something that moms and dads, as parents, they do is once they have kids, they put themselves on the back burner. And then when they look down the road, they're like, what happened to our relationship? Yeah. You know what I mean? So the number one thing is to make sure you try to keep mama first and do things together. And then number two is to always just be there. You know what I mean? Not just be around, but be a present father and talk to them about what's going on every day. Like, share that time with them. Take a walk with them. You know what I mean? And not just be a father, but you want to be their best friend. You know what I mean? So you're there for them. And that's the hard part. And the hard part is, for me, I tell you, one of my Achilles heels, if that can help the other fathers out there, is that I'm always trying to push them to be better. And the hard part is that sometimes when you're pushing them, you gotta not push so hard and not let it get in the way of your relationship. Cause sometimes it gets in the way of the relationship, because I can see my kids look at me sometimes like, what's my dad think? What's going on with it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Because I just want them to be the best they can be. And sometimes I let that get in the way of just the laid back relationship. I said, well, why are you looking at me like that for? Cause I'm just wondering what you're thinking.
Antron, I think spot on all that. That's great advice for new dads. Make sure you're there for the spouse. Just because, again, if you're there for your wife, for me, like, I have two daughters. I'm raising two daughters. You have a daughter as well, and you have sons too. So you want to show how a man should treat their spouse, right? And if you put your spouse number one, that's a great way to teach them, like, hey, this person, find someone who respects and takes care of you the way that I'm taking care of mom. So I love that. I kind of fall into the same things, maybe pushing them, and they're like, they have that look like deer in the headlights, like, what's he thinking, right? And I'm like, it's okay, like, it's all good. So I appreciate that. And again, I know you got a busy week this week with racing and all that. You won championships in 2012, 2015, 2016, three championships, and I got three kids. So I'm not asking you which is your favorite championship, but did one mean more? Was it the first one? Or just because, like, depending on where you are in your career, and it's different for every athlete, different for everybody, wherever they, you know, succeed in life. But did one stick out more than the others? I mean, they all mean different things. They are, of course, great championships. But for you, did one just mean a little bit more?
Yeah, I tell you, I'm going to say, I think the one that really, really, they all stick out because they're all tough.
Yeah.
The way a championship is just tough. And the
you went
one
back to back 2015 and 2016, man.
That's yes, awesome. Yes, yes. And the ones that are just bittersweet, like 2009, we should have won a championship too. In 2011, we should have won a championship too. And those are scars that are left on you, because, you know, we had to count down to the championship and we lost by a narrow margin. And if we had a normal year, we would have won those championships. You know what I mean? Like a normal, all counting the deals. But the one that always sticks out is your first one that you bring home, because you'll never forget it. You know what I mean? The first time you become a champion and the first time you get to be amongst a group of elite people that can say they're a world champ and they can never take it back. You know what I mean? That's part of the deal that my team and I have done together. And it was bittersweet, because we was sitting there, standing there. I remember my wife sitting there with me, and like all of our kids were there, and we were sitting there, and it was incredible. It was incredible. And jumping up and down, going crazy, doing some crazy things. That's like, It was one of those memories that you will never, ever forget. I almost took my wife's head off, man, with my arm. I remember she said next to me, I'm swinging my arms around. I clotheslined her like, whoop. I'm like, oh, baby, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And she said, baby, you try to take my head. I mean, you can see it on the video. You know what I mean? I almost took Steve Torrance's head off, man. Like my homie was sitting right there with me too, man. It's just like everybody was around us. And McCrucci, Bryant, Mark, everybody. It was a very emotional moment because it was a first for all of us, except for Mark. He's won championships before, like when he was a driver. So with that being said, I think the first one holds a very special place, but the second and third ones are very special, was very, very special too, because we locked them up before we went to Pomona. And I can show you something real quick. Watch this. So when we won that championship in like 16, you could see my wife, she did a scrapbook and she put everybody on the front cover. And you can see it's like that was going in the year 2017. So this was 2016. All of us together, all the kids were there, and we were just doing what we do. You know what I mean? That's just family, like a scrapbook all in one. We go to Disney World and everything else. So my wife is definitely the one that keeps us all together. You know what I mean? She's very all about the family. She keeps you grounded. You know what I mean? So
I love it.
She's got all these memories. I look in here all the time, and I keep it in my office every once in a while just to check it out.
Nice. And I appreciate you, you know, again, this is great. You're just, you know, sharing a lot of great things here. Something you said earlier too, about your, you know, one of your sons where he was doing every sport, right? Jack of all trades, master of none. And I think that's great. Cause I think sometimes parents get into focus into like, oh, he's just doing baseball and that's it. Baseball, spring, summer, and all these other things. For you, you in high school, you played all different sports, right? So yes. What was that aha moment, or when did that like bug get you where you're like, yep, I'm going to get into racing. I'm going to become a dragster racer.
Well, the thing about a lot of people never realize if they look back at my past is that I was born around drag racing. Like I had no option. That's what my dad and uncle did before I was born. And they were sportsman racers. So I grew up around, I thought that was normal. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, I thought that was normal. I thought that's what you do. You know what I mean? And when I found out that it wasn't, it's like kids like, what's a race car? Like, what you do? Like, do you go in circles? You go like, you know, do you dirt race or what do you do? I said, no, my dad, we drag race, we go in straight lines. Oh, you got the fast cars. And Lois said, yeah. Yeah. And it was hilarious, like, cause I grew up working on stuff. Like I was working on stuff when I was a kid. I rebuilt my first dirt bike engine when I was 12 years old. You know what I mean? So it was hilarious. And I never forget my dad coming out to the show. He goes, why is this thing all apart? I said, I'm putting a top end kit. He goes, oh, it's never going to run again. And then when my dad came out there the next day, he saw me breaking the bike. And he was like, you did that. I said, I sure did. You know what I mean? So it was funny, man. It was funny. It was a blast. And that's where me and my dad start. He actually gave me like the little seal of approval. And I started helping him on the race car. Like I worked on a race car before, but it was like polishing rims, wiping it down, waxing it, stuff like that. But now I was like part of the crew where I was like helping take the engine out, putting the transmission in, changing the rear ends, putting the dowel pins in to slide the trannies out. Like, I mean, it started becoming real, you know what I mean? Putting the throwout bearing in, sliding the clutch in, you know what I mean? Like, starting to do the big boy things, you know? So that's when I really got into racing. Like I was always into racing, even though I was playing stick and ball sports. They didn't have junior dragsters and stuff like that when I was a kid. Like I grew up racing dirt bikes. Like they had dirt bikes. You could go race dirt bikes. And I start riding dirt bikes and racing dirt bikes. And that's when everything started for me.
Nice, man. And I have, you know, I've been to a few drag races and all that, but like I was kind of blessed and fortunate to like get the behind the scenes for a NASCAR, and it opened my eyes to a lot of different things. I was like, didn't think about this, didn't think about that. What is a misconception? Because like you even mentioned, like, you know, your friends are like, what racing, what do you mean? What is a misconception? Because like there is a lot of not just brains and brawn that goes into it, but there's a lot of things, blood, sweat, and tears that go into racing. What is a misconception about racing that you'd like to share with my audience?
I think the misconception of racing. Well, all like I know drag racing. Okay, so one of the big misconceptions is that every motorsport, every sport is different. Every sport has its own different cogs and everything else. And one thing about drag racing is that we are a very well diverse sport. Period. You know, if you watch racing, we have men, women of all ethnic backgrounds, nationalities, you know what I mean? And we race and people have a respect of it is because when you go to a drag race, it's all access. You know what I mean? Like, and that's one big misconception of drag racing is just that everybody, like a lot of people don't realize how many people are motorheads. You know what I mean? And it's just, we just got to get it out there more on the regular channels for people to understand and the opportunity. People goes, well, it must be the hardest thing about motorsports is like, how do you get in there? How do you get a job on a race team? Or how do you do this? Well, a lot of people don't realize is that if you just show up at a normal drag race, the big misconception is that you show up at a drag race, people don't realize that there's team managers, the HR people, and people that run the race team and general manager of the race teams at the races. And we have over 100 professional teams out there. And they're always hiring. They normally hire on the off season, plain and simple, like between November and January, they're always hiring. Okay. And they're like, well, it must be hard. Well, it's not hard. All you got to do is give somebody a resume or get like a contact information of all the different race teams. And you can look them up on the websites like Don Schumacher Racing, John Force Racing, you know, Mike Ashley Racing. I mean, Justin Ashley Racing, you know what I mean? You just look at all these different Vance and Hines. You look at all the different teams. You go to them, and that's the biggest misconception. It's like, how do I go on a race team? I said, it's not going to jump out through TV and go, I'm going to hire you. There's no magic formula. It's just what I tell people, the misconception is all you got to do is be out and around it of what you want to do, and you will get an opportunity. But the question is, what are you doing to prepare yourself to take that opportunity or seize it? So what I always tell people is that just got to get out there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, goes, well, I got to work this weekend. Well, obviously you don't want a job bad enough in motorsports if you go and say, I got to stay home and work my normal 9-to-5 job. But so you can take off to go on vacation, but you can't take off to go get another opportunity to get a job that you really want to have. You know what I mean? So it's like, what do you want? How bad do you want it?
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? And drag racing, the coolest part about NHRA Camp World Drag Racing Series, every ticket is a pit pass. That's why I was a kid and I got in the sport is that my dad and uncle took me to the races. And when they took me to the races, I was able to go see John Force. I was able to go see Shirley Modowney, Big Daddy Don Garlis, Dave Schultz, you know, all the big names, Perdomo, Bernstein. I was able to go see all of them.
Yeah.
Joe Amato. I was able to go right to their pit and see what they were doing. Like, that's how they do it. You know, eyes real big as a kid and go up to them and just say, all right, now once you're able to get that type of access, you're able to say, I can see myself being here one day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All I had to figure out was like, how do I get behind on the other side of the rope so I could work on something? And then I worked on something and I just climbed the ladder until eventually I was there, you know?
Thank you very much for sharing that. I love just because like when I think, you know, this man, knowledge is power. And when you learn about certain things, like what you said about like, if you buy tickets, a pit pass, and pit passes for people who don't know, like, especially maybe if they haven't gone to a race of any motor racing, like those are hard to get. But for drag racing, if you go and you, like you said, it's a pit pass, you can learn so much and make connections. So I appreciate that. Now we're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie in the Brown household right now is what?
The favorite family movie? I don't know. I got to ask my wife about I don't know if it's a favorite. Hey, babe, what's our favorite family movie in the household that like we all will watch? See, I got to ask the wife. See, I like. None of us liked watching the same things. Like me and the boys are sci-fi. My wife and my daughter are like musicals. You know what I mean? I guess we could say we all watch like, I don't know if the boys will watch it, but like Grease, the Grease movies, we used to watch them. Or we watch Adam Sandler stuff. Like me and my wife used to watch like Adam Sandler movies like Big Daddy.
Okay.
And I think we all watch Coming to America.
Okay. Nice. Love it.
a lot of life lessons in that thing, and it's quite hilarious.
Nice, man. Yeah, no doubt. Anymore in our senior hall, man. Yeah, right. What'd you think of Coming to America?
I liked it. I liked it. It was a good spinoff. It's always hard to compete with the original.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The original, man. Come on, man. Like the original, that's Samuel L. Jackson's first movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's always hard to compare them, but it was good. It had good storylines in the second one. Nice. And it was a very good movie for sure. Cool.
So this might be another tough one for you guys too, because like you said, the movie tastes are everywhere. But do you have a favorite family song right now you guys are all dancing to? Or if not that, is there an artist or a band you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
You know, that is a favorite artist or band that I like to introduce my kids to. I introduce my kids to all the music that I grew up with, and they like it. They like the old school R&B,
nice,
like music from back, like when we grew up. Like the music now, it's music, but it's not like it was when we grew up. It's just a different culture now. So it's a different artistry, but the art that I'm used to in the music world, it was just my kids are definitely into the old school R&B. Like they listen to Charlie Wilson.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Uncle Charlie used to be from the Gap Band. He used to be the lead singer of the Gap Band back in the day. And like stuff like that. And of course, like I let them hear a little bit of the old school. They like old old school hip hop, like Biggie. I even let them in on some old school stuff, like Eric B and Rakim, a little bit of like KRS-One. And they're into all the old school, like Run DMC and stuff like that. But then the coolest part is that they're into like old school R&B, like En Vogue, SWV, stuff like that, that I never even knew they would be into, because they just go on my playlist and they see all my old music and they're like, "Dad, group what it is, Dad." I was like, "That's what I'm talking about, son."
Yeah.
And then one time my son came out the room with Belle Biv DeVoe, Poison. I'm like, "Well, what you listen to, boy? You can't be listening to that." He goes, "Dad, but it is true." I'm like, "What you mean it's true?" He said, "Never trust a big button smile."
At least he was listening to that one instead of Doomy, right?
No, I didn't have, I will not have, I didn't have that one on there. No, you can't hear that one. That's like for the good old, he's 16, he's in that stage, but I still want to believe he's in that stage.
No doubt. I love that, man. Yeah, my kids, like they'll like, especially mention the Gap Band, my youngest loves Drop the Bomb on Me. And when we were watching Guardians of the Galaxy, like Jackson 5 and some other R&B and hits like that, like they were like, they love the soundtrack. So it's great when you can bond with your kids with music. I love it. And I know you're traveling. I know, especially you're a busy guy, but describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
The perfect family vacation, we take it all the time. And my family's pretty easy, man. It's Disney World, brother. It's Disney World. Disney World. If it's not Disney World, it's somewhere with a beach.
Cool.
They love the sand and the ocean. I lay out there with a towel so I don't get burnt up. And they're all, and my kids are like fish, and my wife is too. You can't get them out the water. They're like, so it's like Disney World or a beach. Those are like dead even heats. You know what I mean? And Disney World ain't just going to Disney World. It's going to everything they got. Okay. Yeah. Like Epcot, you know, Magic Kingdom, you know, everything they got, we go to, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's like a 7-day affair of boot camp.
I love it. And again, this could be different. I always love asking favorite track. Let's say a fan, man, woman, haven't been to a track yet, right? Is there like one track that you think like they should check out first?
I would say one of the best tracks to go check out, to be honest with you, is one of my favorites is Sonoma, California.
Okay.
Sonoma. And the reason why is it's a good little getaway where you're able to go out there and I want to say, like, you get to go out there and it's wine country.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what I mean? But the scenery is beautiful. You can also go to the pier. You can go to San Francisco, to the bay, and you can go get, they got great seafood. I mean, it's just a great place to go. You know what I mean? And the weather's always beautiful out there. And we go in the middle of summertime. It'll be cool in the morning, cool in the evening. It'll get warm in the midday, like in the mid-80s. But it's just one of those places you go that's just beautiful. You know, it's
Nice.
just beautiful.
Thank you. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad.
Oh, the top three words that I'm loving, that I'm definitely trying to think of all the ones they would use, not that I would use about myself. They know that I'm loving because I tell them I love them all the time. And
Okay.
they go like, I know dad, I know dad. But I'm loving. They know that I'm very caring of them, that I'm caring. I am a no nonsense type of guy.
Loving, caring, and no nonsense. Great three words right there. People,
That's right.
make sure you follow Antron on Twitter at Antron Brown. Go and on Instagram at Antron Brown TF. And make sure you go to his website, antronbrown.com, to stay up on all the latest things that he is doing. Again, I know you're a busy guy. I know you got a lot of things going on, but this was a real treat talking about your fatherhood journey and of course racing and all that. And I wish you and your family continued success, sir.
All right, well, I appreciate it, man. It's a blessing having me on, man. I appreciate you, my man.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.